Lord, may you speak, for your servants are listening. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. In our previous congregation in the U.S., each member had a name tag. I do not intend to suggest this to St. John's. As strange as that was to us when we first arrived, the explanation, and we're really interested to know why these name tags, as though people were in the bank or in offices with their ID cards so that they don't get lost in the course of the service. In fact, those were the things we were thinking. And when we asked, we were told that the name tags did help members and visitors to church to learn one another's names. In fact, we were there the first Sunday, the next, we had our name tags. And so it was very easy for people to get to know our names and for us to know other people's names. And then again, I say, I am not suggesting this as a practice in St. John's. I've heard it said that the sweetest sound to anyone is the sound of their own name. Doesn't it make you feel good when someone remembers your name? When someone calls you by name, and not just the man with the red car, but says your name exactly. Names are very important to us and even to God. The song we just sang reminds us that God calls us by name. Our memory verse today again reminds us that God calls us by name. In fact, we can think of several times in the Bible when God called people by name. Samuel, Moses, Abraham, and our reading in the New Testament today. Our Old Testament reading introduces us to Samuel, one of the Bible's miracle babies. You may recall that Samuel's mother was a woman named Hannah. She promised God that if he would give her a son, she would give him back to the Lord to serve him all the days of his life. In fact, if you read, I will recommend this to you to read 1 Samuel chapter 1 and chapter 2 to be able to have better understanding of chapter 3. When Hannah was blessed with the gift of a son and in keeping with the promise, she took Samuel and offered to Eli, the high priest. And so Samuel served in the temple under Eli. One night, Samuel was sleeping when he heard someone call his name for 3 consecutive times, and at each time, he ran to Eli, whom he thought was calling him. Finally, Eli realized that this was not ordinary, that perhaps God was seeking the attention of the young person. And that's the place of mentorship. That's the place of the older people and the younger people in relationship and even in the church family. Because it took Eli to discern that it was God who was calling Samuel. And he said to Samuel, when you go back, lie down again, and if you hear that voice, say, speak, Lord, for I am listening. And it happened, and Samuel responded. And then if you read on in that chapter, the message went on. God kept on giving the message to Samuel about what he was going to do in the land of Israel. Some people think that God only calls grown-ups. Samuel was just a wee laddie when God called him. And God also calls wee lassie or wee lassies. Jesus also called Philip and Nathanael for discipleship. And Nathanael could not even imagine how Christ knew him. He said, how come you know my name? And Christ said, Even before you stood under the fig tree, I knew you. So God does not just know our names. He knows everything about us. He knows the pains behind our smiles. He knows us by name, and he calls us by name. That's really encouraging for me, and that is really uplifting, that God knows us by name. So God calls all people. God knows our names just as he knew the name of Samuel, and God still calls today. He calls us and he says, come follow me. So we should listen to God's call and answer just as Samuel did. Here I am. The call of Samuel invites us to be open to the voice of the Lord, to be discerning to the voice of the Lord in the midst of the different alternative voices we hear every day. The story further reminds us that we might not always be at the center of God's activity. And I think this is really humbling. That we may not always be at the center, at the focal point of God's activity. In fact, Samuel was chosen in place of Eli, his master, and his family. His family was supposed to keep on the order of priesthood. But at the time, if you read chapter 2, you understand how the children of Eli were treating the sacrifices with contempt. And so at the time of Samuel, there was a change in the order. So we may not always be at the center of God's activity. Samuel was chosen in place of Eli and his family as God's spokesperson to bring his word to the people of Israel in a new and fresh way. It is really humbling to acknowledge that we may not always be here. We may not always be the preferred voices. God could speak from other voices. On our part, we need to be intentional. And I think it is important to remind us again, because this is the year of young people, and we need to reflect on this every now and then. We need to be intentional in preparing young people for the church of tomorrow, and of course for the church of today. I have been meditating on a book of research called Sticky Faith. Sticky Faith. Everyday Ideas to Build Lasting Faith in Your Kids by Kara Powell and Clark. This book is a summary of findings of research carried out in the U.S. by the Fuller Youth Institute. In that research, they set out to find what things churches and families could do to help develop a lasting faith in children and young people. Now, when we are talking about faith formation and building faith, we are working, and we need to acknowledge that we are working in partnership with God. We plant the seed, others water, but God gives the increase. But we need to play our own part. The research suggests a few things, and I would just like to mention just two. One is that we need to have a shift from behavior-based gospel to grace-based gospel. Behavior-based gospel to grace-based gospel. The research found out that the impression many children and young people have of the gospel is one of obeying rules. Do this, don't do that. Don't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. And at the end of the day, you can't do that becomes more than you can do this. And so when they inevitably fall short of these rules or standards and expectations, for many of them, they think that they are not good enough to be Christians. And so the research suggests, and I really agree with this, that we need to help children and young people trust in Christ rather than in their own ability to follow the rules. They need to trust in Christ, and we need to preach grace-based gospel and not just behavior-based. The second one is shift from separating children and young people from the rest of the church to integrating them in the life of the congregation. Now, while there's definitely a place for age-appropriate groups, a strong faith is formed when children and young people are a part of an intergenerational community, worshiping God together. Faith is also strengthened when children and young people have friendship with adults in the congregation who are not their parents. I think this is really important. When young people are able to have friends among adults who are not necessarily their parents, they get to hear about other people's life experiences and chat about things without family pressures. As parents, families, and congregation, we need to offer adequate spiritual care for our children and young people to help them in their spiritual journeys. We need to create space in the home to talk about faith. In fact, another research shows how increasingly many Christians in contemporary worlds are losing the confidence of speaking of their faith to their children at home, let alone speaking about their faith outside. Because it is said that charity begins at home. And so when we lose the confidence to the point that we cannot talk to our children about Christ, about our faith, then that is really problematic. We need to create adequate space, you know, offer that spiritual. It is often so easy to think about the academic, social development of our children and young people without thinking much about their spiritual development that will help them face the realities of the world. We need to create space in the home to talk about our faith, to read the Bible, discuss doubts, and answer those tricky questions. In fact, we may not necessarily be able to answer all the questions. And each time we meet at home, there are questions that, probing questions that the children will ask. And I will say, okay, I'll get back to you on this. Because you need to be sincere. You don't need to make up answers. If you need to research and maybe have a group study on the question, you can do that. But we need to create space for this engagement with young people. We don't need to be afraid. We don't need to lose our confidence in speaking about our faith. It is within this kind of scenario that young people can grow and become the defenders of their faith tomorrow. In fact, Samuel was mentored by Eli, and he took over from Eli. We need to be intentional about mentorship, about the way we work side by side with young people in our congregation, in our community. We need to be willing and know that we will one day transfer the baton to the younger generation. And we need to properly, adequately prepare them to hold forth the faith. Samuel was choosing to bring God's word first to Eli, his family, then to the people of Israel, but ultimately to us today who are reading this. We may fail in this task, but we know that we have an example of a person who was tempted in every way and yet without sinning. And this person is Jesus. He continues to intercede on our behalf. He continues to pray that God will give us the grace and strength. We do not go in our strength. We do not go in our knowledge. We go in the strength of the Lord. He's interceding, and he's willing to provide us with the courage, with the energy, with the boldness to be able, in friendly ways, speak about Jesus, about our faith, to those around us. And I've said this before, There are thousands, if not millions, of people out there who are waiting for somebody to speak to them about the love of Christ. They are waiting for us. They are waiting for you. They are waiting for me. And we need to recover that boldness, that courage, to be enthused about our faith, to speak about our faith. Amen.